It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson, and this is Monday, the 22nd of April, and it's good to talk. How you doing, Lucky Mo? You all right?
Arthur Shelby slash Bob Hoskins. Good to hear it.
Arthur Shelby.
Is Bob Hoskins still with us?
No, he died. I liked Bob Hoskins. He was a.
Be news to him. Like a, he's 71 like a... and doing well. No, he's not. He died ten years.
Yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I know he did. You bastard! Don't trick me. Yeah,
legend though, Bob, wasn't he?
It was a good. I get him confused. Was he Buster or was that Phil Collins? I think it might have been Phil Collins.
Are you being fucking serious?
One of the two.
Is that a genuine question?
One of the two throws a bin through a window, and I will have mentioned this before on the show. But one of the two, either Phil Collins or Bob Hoskins, throws a bin through a window. We've mentioned this all before because I'm obsessed with that computer I had at school. Blah, 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 blah. Right, but you pressed a button and Bob Hoskins would appear.
Yeah, it was
Phil Collins that was in Buster, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes. I don't think it's a household name. I don't think Buster's... No one's sort of clamouring for a remake of Buster, are they? I don't even know what Buster... Apart from him throwing a bin through a window, I don't know what Buster's game was.
Phil Collins is...
A glazer.
He's an actor of various repute. I mean, he's actually a legitimate actor, right? Yeah. So I'm not having a pop at him. I haven't seen Buster since... I don't know if I've ever seen it. It's a film from the 80s.
Right.
But I don't think anyone's thinking he's in the same category of actor as fucking Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, but it was a similar kind of vibe, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you not think? I mean, similar both... sort of like Naughty Boys or something, or Good Boys. I've never seen the film, so...
Oh, they're both in the film Hook, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, Phil Collins has got a cameo in Hook, and Bob Hoskins obviously plays Smee, doesn't he?
Smee. Maybe. Right, okay. Early acting roles. He had a bit of training... Back in the day, he played Artful Dodger in Oliver on the West End.
I'd like to know what.
That'd be good for one career, wouldn't it?
That was one of my all-time ambitions was to be in Oliver in the West End.
This is the first we're hearing about this.
No, I've told everyone. I've told you a million times.
Right. You really wanted to be be Oliver?
Fagin.
Oh, you wanted to be Fagin.
Yeah.
You're not old enough yet, Luke. The dream is still alive.
Well, that's why the dream was still there, but they've changed the role now because obviously it's hugely problematic.
Yeah,
but when I was a kid, I didn't know anything about that stuff. I just thought he was a brilliant character.
Yeah,
and I loved the song.
Why did you like him? Because he shoplifted and had loads of friends.
What?
Slash.
Kind of.
Employees.
Partly, yeah. Whereas I just shoplifted and had no friends. If you watch the scenes that Ron Moody. So the Ron Moody and Oliver Reed version of Oliver in the 60s, a brilliant film. And the scenes that Ron Moody plays Fagin in, they're fucking unbelievably good. Now, if you've not seen it, go back and watch it. The scenes are brilliantly choreographed, brilliantly acted. The music's amazing. And I just absolutely loved it as a kid. I don't know why. I just really liked it, even though it came out like 15 years before I was even born.
Yeah.
I just used to like
Ollie
it.
Ollie Reed was in that role, just absolutely, the presence was just like,
yeah,
he's so scary.
Who'd you get him mixed up with? Rod Stewart?
You know, Oliver E when he comes on stage and he boots a ball into the crowd. Yeah. and then goes,
love Celtic.
Yeah.
Actually, to be fair, Oliver Reid did do a bit of that. You've just done that.
He did do that. Yeah, if he had a football, he would have kicked it into the crowd at Wagan. Yeah.
I love some of the... I know it's obviously... He's clearly a very problematic character, but I love some of the stories about Oliver Reid. What a fucking legend.
Right.
I read a book called Hellraisers about Oliver Reid and I think Peter O'Toole. It's actually... The book was actually shit. But the...
Peter O'Toole always looked terribly unwell. Like he just looked like he was having a bad time with things.
But at least they're basically alcoholics, aren't they? They have illness. Yeah. They're absolutely riddled with alcoholism. Yeah. And but back in the day, that stuff was kind of celebrated as like the old bon vivant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be now, though, would it?
Oh, no. It really, really wouldn't.
Did people celebrate Pete Docherty when he was getting involved with all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, massively.
So not much has changed then?
No, not really.
By the way, Libertine's got a number one album, didn't they?
Is that an achievement anymore? But yeah, I mean, fair play. I mean, to be fair, if you like the Libertines, you'll like the new album because it's very, very Libertines-y.
Is it like a bunch of guys doing a tribute to the Libertines?
It's like, I mean, the drums sound like they're kicking a, you know, it's like kicking a bin down some stairs. Like it's really kind of loose and kind of produced that way. There's a new, speaking of that era of music, a new Amy Winehouse documentary out.
Yeah, I saw. I've seen it on the side of the bus. I often think to myself, what would the Libertines be like if it was pop punk?
Don't look back into the sun.
That's all TikTok is to me.
Yeah.
That is literally all TikTok is.
The thing about people who sort of parody Blink 182 on online and people who sort of talk about being emo, their only reference is, where are you? That's the only thing they ever say.
Yeah.
To sort of say, hey, I'm parodying emo and stuff. It is worth having a look at a SNL sketch, and you don't normally say that because they can be quite bitty and run way too long. But there is a lovely Ryan Gosling, and I think the bloke out of It's Always Sunny, Charlie Day, is it?
Right, I don't really know. Show that one.
As Beavis and Butthead on SNL recently.
Well, that's quite meta.
It is quite meta. Ryan, he has the sort of blonde, but I'd never heard it sort of described like that, but Beavis does have a blonde, is it pompadour? No, is it pompadour? What's that stupid hair that
you're looking at one.
Have? No, but like it's really, it sort of sticks.
It's a bouffant, isn't it? It's like a bouffant.
Like a bouffant. Like a pompadour. Pompadour?
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah, I know what you mean. I really like hearing you try and say that word, but I know what you mean.
Pompadour. What's the pompadour? Pompadour Centre. No, what's that? What am I thinking of? Pompadour Centre. Pompadour Centre. Pompadour the hair.
I'm not interrupting the enemy when he's making a mistake. Carry on.
Pomade's hair lacquer, isn't it? Hair grease. Yeah. Pompadour.
On behalf of the listenership, I feel like you might have derailed yourself a little bit.
Anyway, he's got like sort of pointy hair at the front, and it is like a proper kind of like kind of 1950s sort of greaser hair, but it's blonde. It's absolutely disgusting.
My friend Dave Watson, that was one of my best friends growing up. We used to hang around together all the time. We used to live in the same street, and he had like dark hair, and obviously I had blonde hair. And my dad always used to, and his dad used to call us Beavis and Butthead.
Nice, I like it.
Pete, I wanted to bring to the table something that really fucking really made me laugh this morning. So, I don't know why you would, but do you follow the polling account YouGov on Twitter?
No, because YouGov, they're too wide ranging. Well,
exactly.
They get involved in any old fucking scuffle, don't they?
So they're obviously for those people who are outside of the UK.
Do you like cheese?
They're a British
survey. Do you like cheese vote?
Yeah, exactly. They're a British surveying and polling company. Mm. So they're basically the British equivalent of Gallup, I guess, in the US. But anyway, they do polls, and it is quite interesting. Mm. And I believe they are quite rigorous polls, and like they're properly, what's it called, referenced. And
reference,
yeah, all that kind of stuff. But there was an amazing one done I saw the other day. It's done the other day, but I saw it this morning. And it was about British people who say different eras were better than the current day, right? So, for example... The options were life was better then, things were about the same, life is better now, and don't know, right?
Right.
So you give them a decade and you say the 1990s, right? And 57% of people said life was better then, and 18% of people said life is better now. So far, so normal, like it's fucking usual nostalgic shit, right? Fine.
Yeah.
Right. It just goes on and on and on to the point where they surveyed these people And 6% of people said that life was better in the 17th century. Right?
How many was that percentage?
6%.
6%. What do they think the 17th century was?
Life expectancy of 36. It's just Brexit types going way too far, isn't
good
it?
Good God.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what, there weren't any fucking... weren't any women telling me what to do, were there?
Before carbolic soap was invented. Good God.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
I think we could do without microbiology, thank you very much.
Well, you know, if I have a wart on my hand, I just go to the local barber surgeon and he chops off my hand. Brilliant.
Yeah,
we used to be a real country.
There are probably people around our age who think life was better in the 90s. Fair enough. Cultural touchstones and, you know, maybe people were a little bit more optimistic because they were younger and had a lot of prospects and stuff. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if it does make sense to say that the 17th century, which you couldn't have possibly experienced, and where your life expectancy means that you would be fucking dead before you could even do the survey, is necessarily a good thing.
I think the only thing people wanted back then was more spice. Didn't they?
Pete,
that was their big thing. They just wanted spice.
3% of people, 3% of people voted that things are about the same than they were in the 17th century.
Well, I think that's closer to the mark, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, again, life expectancy sort of coming right down there.
1940s, Europe completely beset with war, a world war, millions of people dying.
Yeah.
6% again, life is better then. 3% things are about the same. Things are about the same as they were in the 1940s.
Where's Granny's house? It's in bits. It's just in bits.
I remember when I studied history, one of the professors telling us that the worst period in history for crime in London was during the Blitz.
Yeah, because people were just on the rob.
And everyone thinks it was like everyone rabbit raid around, everyone was great to each other, and the rest of it is absolute bollocks.
Just looting.
People were just fucking
constantly
helping themselves. The lights are all out. We're doing what we want.
Doing what you want. Yeah, they just stand by the door with a big billy club. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Everyone forgets all that, don't they? Grandmother forgets that.
I don't remember it because I'm not old enough.
No.
Peter, speaking of wars, I went to go and see that new Alex Garland movie as well.
Which one's that one?
Civil War, it's called.
Okay, yeah, good.
Do you know Alex? Do you know Alex Garland is?
I can't remember.
Okay, do you know who Phil Collins is?
Yeah, just about.
So Phil Collins wrote
terrible
Alex Garland did Ex Machina.
Oh yeah. Yes, you did speak about this one that you fancy.
And Annihilation, and he wrote The Beach, and 28 Days Later as well.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Civil War is about four journalists, a couple of photojournalists and a couple of written journalists, who are crossing various parts of the United States in the near future, a dystopian near future where the US had descended into civil war because a Trump-like president has given himself a third term and the whole thing's kicked off. And it's really fucking gritty and really, really tough. But it's a brilliant film. And I'd recommend a watch.
Can I stream it?
I don't know. I watched it at the cinema.
Oh, okay.
So call me a bluff old traditionalist, but I didn't. Yeah. I think you probably when it comes on to streaming, you could well, easily watch it on stream. But it's got
nothing's added by enjoying it in the cinema.
I wouldn't say so. I watched it at IMAX, so that's obviously good. But it's got a delicious cameo from Jesse Plemons in it, who is very sinister.
Which one's Jesse Plemons now?
For fuck's sake!
What people might not know?
It's the guy who's plays Todd in Breaking Bad, Meth Damon.
Yes, okay, right, I'm there, I'm in, I am connected.
I think he actually might be in a relationship with Kirsten Dunst, who plays the female lead in it.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
Yeah, so... well worth a watch anyway. I thought some of the reviews were quite confusing because some of the reviews said that, Alex Garland doesn't seek to blame one side or the other for the Civil War, but actually I didn't take that impression from it at all. I thought it was very clearly that it was a demagogue that had done it and it was like kind of based on Trump. Nick Offerman plays the president.
Right, okay.
Which is quite interesting.
Nice. Okay.
But anyway, the whole point is they're prominent photojournalists and journalists for big publications, and they're trying to get the last interview with the president of the United States before this country falls to a civil war, basically.
Right.
But it's basically as you know, like in dystopian near future films where the country of the world's descended, and it's all about kind of, you know, lawlessness and bands of roving fucking criminals, all that kind of, it's basically that kind of vibe. awesome. Very good.
I fancy that. Yeah,
it's interesting because it kind of asks some interesting questions about like the role of journalism in all of this, right? Mm. Is the argument that, you know, if you're a photojournalist, is the argument that you'll just take the photos you can take in the most impactful way possible and let other people make their assessments, or are you supposed to be involved yourself, you know, and how do you kind of separate yourself out from the trauma of it and all that kind of thing? It's good. Give it a bash, mate.
I like that. I'll give it a bash the best I can. I really want to watch, there's a video game adaptation of the video game Fallout.
Oh yeah, I've seen the advert for that.
And I'm trying to get certain other people in my home to watch it. I'll get there, I reckon.
Why don't you watch it on your own?
Because I always think that's a bit of a waste of time. I don't know why. I can't get it in my head, really. Other people I know just have, like, you like one thing, I like the other. See you at 10 p.m. for bed. You know what I mean?
The Wi-Fi I have access to and I, there'll be shows we'll watch together and shows that we'll grab an episode of when there's not the other one isn't around or they're in bed or whatever.
Yeah. I just always, what I do is I always just sort of think, yeah, I'll do that. And then when I've got a bit of free time, I just skitter about just looking at the water. I've got a million different things to sort of.
Do you do that thing where you start to tell yourself, I've only got like a few hours of free time, I better not waste it, and you get anxious about wasting it, and it's gone.
It's absolutely gone. And then you just spend your time just looking at DIY tutorials on YouTube, and you're like, we haven't even done the DIY, you just watch the tutorial.
Do you know what I spend my time doing? Like tidying up and getting the space into a position that I want it in so I can relax, and then the relax time's over. And it all gets messed up again because my son wakes up or something.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want to do. Peter, let's take a break. When we come back, there is a pre-promoted and already trailed email from Pilot Neil that I'm going to read to you, followed by some pretty interesting insight into the creator of Game of Thrones, George R.R. Martin. Something for everyone.
PN News up next.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Where are you? That was the ads. It's back with Luke and Pete Shaw. Welcome. I like that. I don't know whether the audio of... I think it's straight after we say goodbye on the first half of the show, you hear the ACAST, and then it goes into the ad break, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have one at the end as well. Diddly-doo. Hi, you're back again.
No, it should be the other way. It should be a different tone, shouldn't it? It should go the opposite tone. Diddly-doo.
What? Diddly-doo. Diddly-doo. Like USB.
Yeah.
I used to play that on the radio, the USB out noise to annoy people.
Jesus.
Don't work that anymore. Because if you hear that noise, you're like, what's happened? You know what I mean?
It's good. Like it's a good idea. Yeah.
Or the old Windows... Like sort of shut down noise.
You got in trouble for that, no?
Nah.
I thought Absolute had some pretty strict rules about the things you could and couldn't say. And
mate,
stuff you
I'm
could
the bad boy of radio.
Is well, that again, why don't anymore?
All right, then. Let's do some emails for crying out loud. And you've been trailing this bloody email from bloody Pilot Neil, who's returning over the horizon, guided by his ILS system into the runway one of the Luke and Pete show.
Very nice. This is surprisingly similar to the email I did on Thursday, but it's from a completely different person. But,
okay.
So bear with us. So Pilot Neil, long-time friend of Laps, a Laps pal, if you like. Yeah. He says, "Dear Luke and Pete, a quick email to share a story that I think lies at the intersection of a number of recent LMP topics and that might spur further discussion on the matters in hand." So it starts even similarly to the other
one. Exactly, yeah.
"Earlier this year, I attended a round of the European Veterans Fencing Championship in Guildford."
Okay, right.
Great start.
It is a good start. Really, really good start, actually.
"Not as a competitor, I hasten to add. A friend of mine had travelled across from Holland to take part, and I'd agreed to haul myself out of bed early one weekend to go and watch him. I was disappointed to learn that the veteran component of the name refers to the age of the participants and not to any previous experience of actual military swordsmanship. But it was, if nothing, a different way to spend a Sunday morning. As the competition was drawing to a close and I was standing around with my brain in neutral, waiting for my mate to pack all his gear away, a group of about five very ebullient Germans grabbed me and eagerly asked me to take a picture of them with their arms around the shoulders of a much smaller figure in a red beanie who had obviously been taking part in the fencing and was now trying to make his way quickly to the exit. This somewhat diminutive and, might I venture, hobgoblin-esque figure seemed a bit reluctant to stop and have a photo with this loud group of middle-aged men in white cod pieces, but appeared to weigh up the options and decided that the most expeditious way to extricate himself was to force a smile, have a quick snapshot, and get out of there. It seemed a bit strange that the German fencers were so keen to have a photo with this anonymous swordsman, but I presumed he must have been an ex-Olympian or something. So I gave the phone back and then had a closer look at the object of her adulation, who was now making a smart exit from the gin. It was then that I saw the name Bruce Dickinson written on blue biro on the large sports bag that he was pulling along behind him. Yes, it was indeed the Iron Maiden frontman, and now, as I vaguely remember, expert fencer.
Ah,
it was
yes.
A bit of a disappointment to see the man behind Trooper Beer more closely resemble Pete's hobgoblin friend from XFM, but fair enough, it was a Sunday morning Guildford Leisure Centre. Personally, I was kicking myself for not taking the opportunity to discuss his time flying Iron Maiden around the world in their own airliner, Ed Force One. Maybe next time. Keep up the good work, Pilot Neil." You're a pilot. You didn't even ask Bruce about his piloting.
No, you could have said, "Hey, you can be pilot flying and I'll be navigating or doing all the, you know, all the button pressing and stuff."
Can takes like, two, doesn't it?
Yeah, it takes two to, because you never talk about his friend, his other guy. There's another pilot in that thing, presumably.
Maybe he's really shy, so that flying with Bruce Dickinson is like the expert.
Maybe it's Eddie.
Could
maybe
be.
Maybe Eddie is pilot navigating or whatever.
It's ideal for him to have someone to take all the attention away. He can just get on with his job of just being a really great first officer.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he can talk to the cabin crew and stuff like that. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
So one thing, remember on Thursday's show, you talked about being a pilot and you reckon you could do it because of all the videos you've watched and stuff.
Yeah.
I had to think about it and I thought to myself, the biggest challenge for you would be being able to confidently do the thing over the PA to the passengers.
Yeah, I wouldn't
even though you're a broadcaster.
Kind of, people don't need this delivery. This voice.
How would you do it?
All right, dickheads. We're going to go real high in the sky.
No, do it serious. I really want to hear you do it serious.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's 2024.
You don't need to give the year.
I'm just
saying. Straight away, there's question marks.
I'm just saying it's 2024.
People are like, is it a time travel device?
People may not regard themselves as ladies and gentlemen. And I'm just trying to make people who don't feel comfortable in the vestibule or in their seats.
So what are you going to say instead then?
Good morning, everyone. I am Pilot Pete. Pilot Pete, doesn't sound right. It sounds bad.
You sound like a fucking video game character.
Yeah. I'm Pilot Donaldson, flying today on your London Stansted to Jamaica.
You need to know that bit.
Jamaica.
Crucial.
We're flying to the Caribbean today. We're going to escalate now. Go up. We're going to acclimate. What's the word for accelerate?
Do they have a script? Could you ask for a script?
What's the when you go up? It's that's the thing, isn't it? The, when pilots would talk to each other, they're very secure and precise because you've only got a limited amount of time to talk to the people down on the ground to sort of go, you know, can you give me a bearing and stuff like that? And they've got to be very precise and very specific. Even
they would
people
just say climb,
who English,
they?
I'm worse than we'd climb to a. Where's the thing?
Cruising altitude.
Cruising altitude of, I don't know, 10,000 feet.
Doesn't seem high enough, does it?
3 miles.
That's yeah.
You wouldn't use miles, would you? Yeah. 100,000 miles flat. 100,000 feet.
No, that's too
where
high.
We will be.
It's way too high. You never want to be dead.
I don't. After a certain distance,
30,000 probably.
After 5'8", I have no idea. 35,000 feet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And we will be doing that for a bit.
Yeah.
Then we'll stop doing that. I will. I will begin the glide slope.
Would you just say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this British Airways service flying from London Heathrow.
I mean, I wouldn't be going to Stansted to Jamaica. I don't think they'd really do that.
They wouldn't say right. Jamaica. They would say the airport, the town.
All right. What's the one in Cape Verde? Dr. Tambo. I think it's Dr. Tambo Airport. We're going to Dr. Tambo's airport.
Again, sounds like a children's TV show destination, doesn't it?
Dr. Tambo.
Dr. Tambo's airport.
Dr. Tambo's airport. And we're going to be kicking it real high in the sky. No, we're going to be hanging out in the sky for a bit.
Would you try and be cool? Would you try and do a couple of little gags in there? Or
I don't know.
Are you going to introduce your first officer or not?
I'm going to sound... I'm here with First Officer Luke Moore. He's crying. He doesn't know how he got here. It's a bad dream for him.
He's simply not qualified. I might let him have a go for a bit.
So he's just going to be keeping an eye on the old on the picture of the plane on the screen. ILS, yeah. I think that's ILS, isn't it? No, isn't that ILS? Isn't that the thing? That
I think we've established that you don't quite have the confidence.
All right, fine.
Have one more go at it. So start from the top. Have one more go at it.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know what's good? Flying. Do you know who's going to be doing it today? Donny D Dog Pilot Boy, right? We're going to be up there for a bit. We're going to be down there. You're going to be having a Chianti in Seville. That's Italian. You're going to be having a Chianti in Italy very, very soon indeed. Where in the boot are we going to be landing? Well, it depends on a lot of factors, to be quite frank. We might run out. I didn't look at the clipboard that closely. I don't know whether we've got enough petrol. We might end up in Geneva. Hey, but I'll do my best.
I promise you, I'll do my best. Can we shake hands now on somewhere in Italy? Can we shake hands out now?
We ain't going to be ending up in the sky forever, all right?
Yeah.
And that's
what
all you're
up,
having. Ask me
down.
No questions, I'll tell you no lies, right? We are not going to be in the sky forever. That would be a weird situation to be in. We're going to end up on the ground, potentially in the ground, very, very soon indeed. But for now, don't sit back. Sit back, relax, and enjoy... So many seasons of Seinfeld. So many seasons.
Not on a short haul.
All right. If you've put them on your iPad, you can watch some Seinfeld. You can do that. I give you carte blanche. Unless you're in exit row, you've got to get up and go on in the cabin storage and pull your iPad out. But you can't do it until we are airborne and I've turned the fucking seatbelt light off. All right?
Yeah.
And if I see any of you up there, I'm just relinquishing controls. I'm not even telling the first officer he's going to be pilot flying. I'm just going to be like, mate, Luke, I'm out of here. I've got to kick some air. And I'm going to get out, run down the fucking... And just start fucking wailing. If people have got their iPads out before I've got the seatbelt thing off, we might still be climbing at that point. I don't know.
Is that why the door of that Boeing 737 MAX came off?
Yeah, I kicked it open.
Having a punch up like John McClane.
I kicked it, like two.
I think you definitely. I'll take back what I say. I reckon you'd definitely be able to pull that off.
Yeah, all right.
No problem. Let's finish with an email from Brogan. Partly because his name's Brogan. I don't think we've had an email from someone called
Heartbreak
Brogan.
High's back.
What's that got to do with it?
Because Brogan sounds a bit like Borgen, which is an insult in. Or I think it's. Is it like a chav in Australia? I think it's an.
Yeah,
like
Borgen is. Yeah.
Borgen, yeah.
It is.
They've not. I don't think they've used the excellent theme tune for next season.
I don't think I've ever watched Heartbreak High, which is weird. Because
I don't think anybody did, but it was just an offensive little inner city youths doing stuff. But the theme tune was absolutely banging.
Should have been right in the target audience. I might listen to the theme tune after we've done this. Anyway, Brogan says, "Hi boys, Brogan here from San Diego, California. I have some potential insider information for you regarding the Game of Thrones chat from last Monday's episode. Granted, my scoop is from about 7 years ago and things could have changed since then, but anyway. Mm. In my junior year of high school, which is the equivalent of year 11 in the UK, I took a newly created class called Modern Epic. In short, we read the Song of Ice and Fire books, which of course is the book series that Game of Thrones is based on, by George R.R. Martin. And then we watched Lord of the Rings movies on Fridays. It was a pretty sweet gig. In my senior year, I learned that George R.R. Martin, the writer of said books, would actually be coming around to the current class, which I then weaseled my way into, and we chatted with him for about 3 hours, absorbing all
our
Starstruck
brains. That's why he's not writing the books.
I know.
That's why he doesn't have time to write the books. He's pissing about in schools.
Visiting schools.
Yeah.
Brogan says, one of the most groundbreaking things we learned was related to the show and the future books, and if they would have the same ending. Mm. The show was in about season 5 or 6 at the time. At this point, the show and books had already diverged a little, but the major bits were the same. We learned from George that he gave the major plot points to the show writers that they had to stick to, but all of the smaller things were up to them. I don't know if the show ending was his making or was of his making or not. Regarding the books, he said he really disliked writing them at that point, finding his other works to be much more interesting and fulfilling for him. However, he did still intend to finish them regardless. He also writes everything on a special computer from the 80s that doesn't have any internet capability, so no one can hack his shit. I hope this has been enlightening. If I wasn't supposed to share any of this, George, your lawyers hopefully don't try too hard to find me. Have a great rest of the week. Yours faithfully, Brogan. When we wrote our book, Pete, you used an 80s computer so you couldn't get distracted by the internet. Is that right?
I think I wrote one chapter on the Our House Free Write system, which is like a kind of... It's like an 80s word processor for absolute dickhead hipsters, which I stuck on eBay not that long ago, actually. There's a lot of crap in my cabin. I was like, I'm sticking everything on eBay, I can't be honest with it. And made an astonishingly small amount of money from it.
Right. How much did you pay for it?
But it was, I think it was like 400 quid. What a waste of money.
Yeah.
What a dickhead. Absolute dickhead.
And don't forget, though, you made probably at least...
£300 from the book?
Nah. Nah. Nowhere near.
Nah.
Anyway, it's mad that George R.R. Martin visited a Brogan school, isn't it?
Yeah, again, he just needs to be, he needs to keep his, it's like, I guess it's like DIY, isn't it, really? It's like you've got something that you said you're going to do, and then you don't end up doing it because you just, you'll just do anything apart from that. To actually...
I think he's got in his own head about it, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he's telling himself that he's not having fun, so he's not having fun.
Exactly. Got to choose your attitude, George.
Exactly. Sort yourself out.
But anyway, thanks to Brogan and to everyone else who got in touch for this this show today. Yep. Peter, that's about all we've got time for. So do you want to take us out of here, mate?
Yeah, we'll be back on Thursday. Get your brands in. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. You can find us on YouTube. You know, us on all the socials, all the business. Twitter,
are we
Instagram.
On YouTube?
At Luke... I don't think we are. TikTok, at the Luke and Pete Show. Insta and Twitter can be found at Luke and Pete Show. And you can get in touch with us with that email, what I just said. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We'll be back Thursday. Bye-bye!
See ya.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. Doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.